Welcome to The Public Storyteller. My name is Michael Stock with Dr. Karen Neal. Karen is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. Hi, Karen.
Hello, Michael.
What story do you have today?
Michael, here's one from Abby Peterman.
I've always loved people. I've loved working with people. I've loved helping people. And it was in 2015, I was 17 years old, that I really was able to kind of put that love for people into a tangible project. My mom worked at Cross Point Elementary School in Boynton Beach, Florida. And I had volunteered at that school for about 5 years, and I currently do still volunteer sometimes. Since my mom was the cafeteria manager, I started out helping her prepare lunches for field trips, and I would bag up lunches. Sometimes I would help on the cash register during lunchtime. I would help her with some paperwork if she needed some help, and I did a lot of clerical work up in the office. I became a well-known volunteer on the campus since I was there for so many years. The principal knew about it, everybody up front knew about it, so if anybody needed help, they would go over the walkie and say, Abby's here, Abby, can you come down to the office, or Abby, can you come down to this room, we need some help with this. One day, my mom had mentioned to me that at work, there was two students who had showed up. I want to say the brother was probably in second grade. He was a little bit older. You could tell he took care of his younger sister. And the younger sister was probably in about kindergarten. These two students came in absolutely drenched. Their clothing was so wet. And they tried to ask the students, well, why did you come into class with your clothing drenched? They had told their teacher that since their parents were always out working to try to support their family, they had to try to do all of the chores that their parents normally would have helped them out with. And the student tried to get up early in the morning. He had to get his sister ready. So he didn't know how to work the dryer. And so he threw his clothes in the washer, and he was trying to, you know, manage his time to help out his sister and everything. And he just couldn't dry his clothes. So he had to show up with wet clothes. They just went into this whole huge sad story about how they were often home alone. They really had to help their parents out because their parents didn't make a lot of money, so they were always out of the house trying to support their family. This just had my mom up in tears. They had a laundry machine and a dryer in the back of the kitchen. She dried their clothes for them, and she was thinking, okay, now this is sad, but what can I do about it? I always got my love for people from my mom. And she came home and she told me about this, and we thought for a while, what can we do? What can we do to help these kids? Because they can't help themselves. We ended up just going back and forth, throwing ideas out. And eventually, after thinking for a while, we came up with the idea to get suitcases. Because we had talked to our principal at Cross Point Elementary School, and she had said that we actually had about maybe 50 students who were homeless or in foster care. So we thought, what if we get a suitcase and we fill it with necessities like toiletries, academic supplies, comfort items like blankets and stuffed animals and a journal they can write down their feelings in, some toys like coloring books, maybe some things to play outside with when they get bored. And we can put it all into this suitcase and then we can give it to them. And that can be something to call their own, since they're in situations where they might not have something to call their own, or they might not have those necessities provided to them because they are in these situations. So we started off with that idea, and we started off small. We started off in Cross Point Elementary School, and we got donations from the staff there, from the principal. She was very accommodating, and even from some families and from some teachers who had worked there, or their kids went to school, they heard about it, and they started bringing in suitcases for us and leaving it at my mom's office door, and some of it would have stuff in it. Some people would just drop off bags and put it on her door handle, and she'd show up to work, and there'd be a bag filled with deodorants on her door. And we started filling these suitcases, and we got a list of names of students who were in situations where they might need some help. And we gave their parents a call if their parents were okay with it. We may have asked, oh, what's your child's favorite color? So we could kind of personalize the suitcase for them. And then we would put all the items in, we would call the student in, and we would set it up. We would open up the top of the suitcase, have like the stuffed animal and the colorful folders and the blankets and the toys and the toothbrushes all out in this nice array. And we would say, okay, now walk in and there's gonna be a present for you. You have to find it. And it's going to have your name on it, because we would always make these little stencils that would have an A, because we call our program Abby's Angels. And we would put the A on the suitcase and we would say, go find something that has your name on it. And they would look for the A that has their name on it, and their faces would just be so bright when they would walk in and they would see everything in the suitcase. Some of them even picked out one thing and said, I can keep this? We would say, it's all yours. You get everything. You can keep all of it. And some of the students were so excited. They were always so grateful. We'd get tons of hugs. Some of the parents cried and they hugged me and they said, thank you so much. I prayed for this and you came just at the right time. We even went a little bit further after we gave suitcases out, and we would go to the parents and they would say, oh, you know, it's so great that we had this. We're going through such a rough time. And we would figure out that they needed new backpacks too, because they were sending their students to school with backpacks that had holes in them or the straps were broken. So we gave them new backpacks, and sometimes we would coordinate with the food pantry at school and we would give them boxes of food and just do whatever we could to really help these families out. And as of today, we've given out over 150 suitcases and we're still going strong.
Abby Peterman with a story about helping those less fortunate.
This is somebody who started this when she was a young girl. I can see this woman just continuing making this her MO. She's just going to be somebody really special in life.
It's very clever to create the fundraiser with suitcases.
Yeah, it's a great idea. And it came out so organically, so naturally from who she is. You know, they say in storytelling or in writing that character comes from behavior, and she tells the story in a very descriptive way, but in a very matter-of-fact way as well. You know, she doesn't say, look at me. She just says, this is something that's important to us, and this is what we did to set about doing it. Just like if you told a story about how you always wanted to be a pilot, and so you set about doing it this way. You want to do good in the community. You want to give to people. You care about people. You start on a grassroots level.
I must leave a really sheltered life not to realize that there are parents out there that have to work and have to let their 5 and 6-year-olds wash their clothes themselves and end up going to school with wet clothes.
Well, I think it might not be too much of a stretch to say that many of us listening to this story lead sheltered lives. I think we don't have any idea what is going on, the hardships that people go through. Most of us don't know. And I think in this case, that image, I mean, that's something I'll never forget. And that's what happens in a good story when you get a good, strong image. And that image of those children coming in with, she uses the word drenched clothing. I mean, think if you had, I don't even like putting on a wet bathing suit. And I don't know that the parents even knew he was doing a wash. I don't know that it's really the parents' fault. What are they doing? They're trying to keep shelter over their kids' heads. They're trying to keep food in their kids' mouths. And maybe they didn't know he was doing a wash. Maybe they thought, I mean, I think he was 8, I think she said, the older one. And to these children, it's probably fairly normal.
Abby is just incredible for seeing these people and wanting to make a change, want to make a difference.
And the juxtaposition between Abby at 17 and this little boy at 8, the comparison between the two lives that these two different children led is really stunning. And that's what this story highlights. Here is a girl who obviously had some, a young woman now, was a young girl who obviously had some advantages, had a mother with a good job. She was doing something under the loving supervision of her mother, and she was gaining skills, and she was feeling very satisfied by it. That's very different than what these other children are going through. There's a wonderful expression, we nourish from our overabundance, or maybe it's nurture. But anyway, what it means is when we have more than enough, then we can give to others. It's rare that people who don't have enough give. Clearly, Abby feels she has over enough. So we see this tale of two families, a tale of three kids, and it's a fascinating story.
Well, thanks for bringing that story in, Karen. If our listeners have other South Florida stories they'd like to share, how can they get in touch with you?
Send me an email to cneil, that's C-N as in Nancy, E-I-L-E at fau.edu.
Our website also has contact information as well as archive stories at wlrn.org. Click radio and the public storyteller. Thanks, Karen.
Thank you, Michael. See you next week.
Dr. Karen Neal is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. My name is Michael Stock. The Public Storyteller returns next Sunday.